Well, I'd have been against it, but they're back. Mark and Mike. It doesn't take a genius.
You know, I'm just going to tell you before we get started, you supplied these backgrounds, and I really miss Toledo from last week. And these are by far the most intensely creepy things we have ever had behind us. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone right now.
Well, it's amazing. You know, it's the Google rabbit hole. So you go on it, and I actually Googled time part three. And I thought there'll be a great graphic because, you know, the third one, you know, third Zoom cast in our series, right? There'll be a great graphic for this. No, there's not. But then it starts you down the wormhole of time travel. And then that takes you into black holes. And then somehow you end up with these two images, which are black holes combined with clocks. So,
yeah.
Yeah, completely frightening, but somewhat apropos, right? I started in this direction, and then Google grabbed me, right? It just pulled me in, and next thing I know, I'm studying black holes and the grandfather paradox, and then I noticed time was gone. Yeah, where'd it go? I don't know. Google took my time.
I wasted time in my younger years watching Friends, and all I can hear now is Ross Geller with his special synthesizer music singing his song, time, 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 infinite time, time, time. So that's going to be going through my head this whole time.
Nice. Yeah. Good of you to put that into other people's heads, because everybody enjoys a good earworm.
Yeah. Oh, earworm hole. I see what, okay. That's enough out of you, Marshall.
Serendipity right there. All right, so what's happening in part three of time management?
Yeah, so it is part three. And if you think about, you know, part one, we talked about how do you prune, you know, that you've got all these branches on the tree of all the things taking your time. How do you prune away the dead branches, the sickly branches, the frankly, the branches that are good, but not the best branches. Okay, you know, duly noted. Part two, we looked at the matrix, that that idea that Stephen Covey popularized, Eisenhower I think introduced, that, you know, basically says there's a way to prioritize those branches. And so today we're really talking about what are the branches? Do you know what your branches are? Do you have an inventory of what's on your tree? Because this is the way I think makes most sense to look at it is, you know, you've got the one tree. Everybody has the same amount of time in terms of hours per day. You know, Einstein got 24 hours. Mike Marshall got 24 hours. Mark Ramsey got 24 hours. And you, dear listener, also have only 24 hours.
Yes. And we thank you for spending some of that time with us. And don't forget to subscribe and hit the like button below.
Amen.
We need to do that more. I think we have 12 subscribers now.
Is that right?
So thinking about this, it brought to mind a book. And so the book is called The One Thing, The Surprising Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. And so it's 166 pages of just telling you, just pick one thing and do it really well, and success will follow. And so, you know, they talk about extraordinary results are determined by how narrow you can make your focus. Mm. One of my favorites on here is exactly what you're talking about is an application would be create a success list versus a to-do list.
Mm.
And so, and part of that is, as the book talks about, is some of the things that we talked about where one of the biggest things that you can do to begin creating your list is to say no.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about saying no to good ideas. And then the last piece that I'm hoping that you'll talk about was the book talked about you have to create your system. You know, the system that will allow you to once you have your success list, to focus on that versus all the things that are possible for you to be doing at any point in time.
Yeah. So that's such a great point that these are habits, right? We've talked about several times on the podcast that setting habits is really key. And in fact, Mike, I didn't share this with you, but I went back and looked at the metrics of our shows, and that episode about how do you set good habits continues to have people download it over the season. So we know that's a big deal, is setting habits about around the system of how you spend your time and how you track that. So I guess, you know, what we're really saying here is that, you know, finding out where you spend your time is the start of that. That's the key to addressing, prioritizing your future time spent and setting boundaries around those things that you, you think are most important. So let's talk about some ways that you can sort of take that inventory of where your time is going, and that'll spill over into, you know, how you plan how to spend that inventory of time in the future. Have you ever done a calendar audit?
I have, and it's frightening.
Right. Right.
And incredibly difficult for me because I'm not a documented detail person.
Right.
You know, but yeah, and part of this process, and you'll I'm sure you're gonna explain to us how to do it properly. Even if you come close, even if you get close to what, you know, to doing a detailed audit, just the thought of having that in the front of your mind every day makes you automatically more conscious. So tell me how I should do it.
Yeah, well, I think you're spot on something there, that, you know, there's, it's one thing to go back and look through your computer's calendar, your phone's calendar, maybe emails over the previous week, and sort of try to document what did I do with my time? Where did I spend that time? And even if you get halfway there, and if you start doing that on a regular basis, you know, you're ahead of the game. But if you really want to tackle this and get sort of a sense of where your time is going, get a spreadsheet. I did this for about a month. This was years ago. I broke it down into 15-minute increments. And I just had that up in the background of my laptop wherever I went. You know, when I was on the road for work, I still had that up in the background, and I could track where my time was going. And to your point, you know, two things happen. One is that you start to say, oh, wow, that took way more of my time than I expected, whatever it is. You know, email was the one for me. I just could not believe how much time I spent on email. The other thing that happens, though, is that suddenly you're watching yourself, right? You know that you're going to have to give a report. And it was amazing how little time I spent, playing with the Facebook app on my phone, or, you know, games or what have you. I tended not to waste a lot of time because I knew at the end of the week I was going to look back and say, okay, how much time did you spend there? And I didn't want to depress myself.
Right. I had high expectations for myself.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But then again, I've also seen me do what I don't want to be doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's how I've used a spreadsheet. Anything you'd add to that on auditing your time?
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, we bring technology into this thing. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I did was I've turned on I think I get it weekly, the weekly notification on my phone. Yes. For where how much time I've spent doing different things on my phone.
Yeah.
And so with the phone being such a, you know, it knows where we go and when we go, and it knows everything. But this is such a beautiful thing, and it puts it in a beautiful bar chart.
Yeah.
And I think everybody knows, or most people know, that it's in there. But I turned on the notification so it would push it towards me.
Yeah.
So once a week, it reaches up and it goes, psh, psh, psh. You know.
You called it beautiful. Some weeks I would call it damning. But yeah, go ahead.
Sunday morning,
I get a backhand across my face.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just slap chips out of the head and goes, all right. And then same thing. You get some weeks you go, oh. Did a nice job. Look at that. Look at my self-restraint. Yep. You know, I made the main thing the main thing, and kept my distractions to a minimum this week.
Well,
so yeah, I think the calendar audit you know, because there's something to be said for either typing it in or even writing it. The physical motion of writing down. I just spent 11 minutes looking at TikTok videos. that's just painful to write, you know, and at the same time, it's very gratifying to write. I just spent 2 uninterrupted hours focused on the main thing, right? You know, getting better at coaching, developing a training program, following up with customers, right? Whatever it might be. That's incredibly gratifying to see that on the list. And so, and like I said, I'm not a list person. I don't do well with lists. But this exercise, no matter how poor you are at it, makes you better just by attempting the exercise.
Yeah. And this is circling back around to really what we talked about on episode 1 of this 3-part series, which is, you know, then you've got something to work with. Now you've got things that you can say no to or yes to that you can budget into your upcoming week, for instance. So something that I've had success with, clients have had success with, is, you know, sitting down once a week and taking that list, taking that audit, taking, you know, your own version of the Covey matrix and saying, okay, I only have so much time to budget this week. I know that I'm, you know, promised at these meetings, family time here, and that's important to me more than anything else. So I'm budgeting that in. Now, here's the 3 or 4 things in quadrant 2, as we talked about, that are a huge deal. I need to get to them first, but it's not going to happen unless I put them on the calendar. And mapping that out on a calendar that you keep in front of you, that you stick with. Maybe you have alerts that go off on your phone to remind you, okay, email time is over. Get on with writing that chapter of the book, or, you know, whatever it is that you happen to be doing. So the beauty of this is that that you're putting attention on prioritizing as you go. And that's the whole point of this, is it's not time management, it's priority management.
Exactly. And I've always been struck by, I learned this very on, that the adage that work fills the amount of time that you have.
Yeah.
And so if the teacher gave you 6 days to write a paper, it took about 6 days to write the paper.
Yep.
If the teacher gave you 6 months to write the same paper, it took about 6 months to write that paper.
Yep.
And so figuring out, okay, what are the what's my priority, and then blocking out time for that, then you will spend that time on that priority.
Yeah.
If you don't block out the time, then other things creep in.
And I think what's so key about that, Mike, is you're blocking out time, not for an intangible priority. Block out the time for the outcome that you're looking to achieve. You know, mm-hmm. if it's, you said write a paper, right? Rough draft finished by the end of this 2-hour block. You know, outline of book for the paper at the end of this 3-hour block. Whatever it is, that's the next step. But by the end of it, you've got a tangible product that says, I just got closer to that one thing, that priority being accomplished. Mm-hmm. There's a million things like that. Frankly, if people want to email us, we try to put our email addresses in the notes. There's lots of little tips and tricks on how you go about doing those planning meetings and things that, you know, they don't work for everybody, but things that are tips and tricks to help you get there, we'd be happy to share with anybody who reaches out.
Well, and definitely. And one of the things, that we want to talk about is we're not perfect. You know, I struggle with this every day. I look to people for inspiration. One of the things that you inspired me was when you were, we worked from home quite a bit, but you were going to the coffee shop. I think it was Friday morning or Saturday. Yeah. There's one day a week where you went to the coffee shop, free of all the home distractions,
right?
Which we love all, each of home distractions, everyone does.
Totally.
But you'd carved out, here's a set amount of time, distraction free, in an environment where I can focus on the main thing, right?
Yep.
Focus on your coaching business, focus on helping people. And I always thought that was just remarkable that you did that.
Well, and well, thank you, but and that was a season, and so the season came to an end. It didn't work out logistically in our schedule, but what did work out was I can get up at 5 a.m. I think I mentioned this last week that you know, 5 a.m. I know that I can beat the kids up, beat them up before they wake up, not physically beat them up. Anyway, the point is, yeah, that you have to go through some sort of system to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. It's not going to happen on its own. You have to be intentional about it. So some system for you to be intentional about.
Yeah, well, yeah, agreed. And if you look at the book, The One Thing, one of the things it talks about is, you know, one of its recommendations is spend 4 hours a day on that priority. Four hours a day. And it talks about Michael Phelps, who was an Olympic swimmer and fairly successful in the 100-year history of the Olympics.
Yep. Spokesperson for Subway. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Good spokesperson for Subway. He practiced swimming 6 hours a day.
Mm.
So yeah, he practiced 6 hours a day and ultimately became the ultimate Olympic champion. I remember they were interviewing some of the Olympic U.S. Olympic gymnasts. And they were asking about the previous Olympics. You know, did you have role models? Who did you admire? You know, in the you know Olympics 4 years ago, and they'd all been together back then. And the gymnast said, "We didn't stop to watch the Olympics 4 years ago."
Oh wow!
It was on a TV in the corner, but we were at practice. We didn't really have role models because we were too busy working on our own game to even stop and take the time to watch somebody else. You know, and I was like, this is you dedicated yourself to this whole thing and you didn't stop to watch it. But 4 years later, they were standing on the podium collecting gold medals.
That's a good point.
At their Olympics. And I was like, that's some focus.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, you know, to be in the zone to that level. That, yeah, we're not going to watch them. We're going to work on what we need to work on in order to achieve what we want to achieve.
Well, that's a great segue into our final little thing that we talked about covering when we were setting this up, Mike, because you were talking about, you know, tracking the amount of time you spend on things that fill your soul, that help you achieve your goals. There's a part of me that hears what those gymnasts went through and wonders if they, do they second guess that? Do they say, but you know, we should have stopped to watch the Olympics and let that be something that was life-giving for us. And there's no answer to that. I don't expect you to have a pithy thing to say about that, but just the idea of, you know, there are some sacrifices that you make. You know, they probably wouldn't have sacrificed trying to earn a gold medal, but I can hear me, you know, when you said that story, what I immediately thought of was a couple times that I've had, you know, client work that's been dangled in front of me. And I think I've got to say no to that. It's absolutely the right thing to do financially, but I just won't get to see my kids enough and be home, you know, to help my wife enough. I got to pass. Mm-hmm. Financially, I made a bad decision, but I made the right decision because I focused on what fills my soul in those moments. So I don't know if you could say anything else about that, about the concept of filling your soul.
Well, I think we're seeing that, you know, with this younger generation. And so they are choosing quality of life over external success, be it positions, power, money, or, you know, and we see so many young people that will trade a little bit of additional income for time with family.
Yeah.
Or time spent in hobbies, you know, whether it be hiking or kayaking or biking or whatever.
Right.
And so I do think this generation has learned from maybe the bad example of the, you know, my boomer generation.
Right.
Where we would work literally until we developed an eating disorder, you know, became overweight, had a heart attack, or became really good alcoholics. So,
right. Really,
you know, I think they looked at that and went, you know, maybe that's not the way. And then ultimately they've hit upon this quality of life balance situation. And so they do what you do, which is weigh it on the scale and go, all right, you know, career success and, you know, success in life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to balance those two out and And I just admire the heck out of that because I didn't start out that way.
Oh yeah. And I have a boomer dad. I remember very consciously when he said, I'm going to be home for dinner. You know, he had to make a conscious decision, tons of stuff undone at work. I will be less successful in my career. I'm going home. And I would just, for anybody out there who's a parent who has kids at home, I promise you they are watching and they are paying attention to how you set that tone. It was easier for me to set that tone because I watched Dad do it.
That's huge.
Yeah. So related thought, and I told you I had there's always something ancient we can throw in here because the ancients have been thinking about this a long time. I was just reading, Plato's Republic. Socrates is quoted in there as having talked about the fact that, their city that he's trying to set up, this experimental city that's supposed to help them understand what justice and morality is all about. He says, we really got to be careful about having too many lawyers and doctors. And the reason is all the rich people that just sit around with sedentary lifestyles have all these problems with gas and fluids and people start misbehaving because they know they can break the law. And he basically, I was like, are you describing modern society? It appears you are, you know. But so that's all related, trust me. But here's one from the 90th Psalm in the Old Testament. It's attributed to Moses. And, you think about it, Moses was kind of a second half of life guy. He had all these things happen. You know, there was the whole baby in the rushes story. That's great. But, not until he's a grown adult and, kills somebody and runs off, does God approach him and say, I got a big task for you. You are going to free the people of Israel, your original tribe. And so late in life, he has all this stuff happen. And anyway, the 90th Psalm has him talking about how, he says, first off, we know God is infinite, eternal. He says he's from everlasting to everlasting. That's the phrase. And then later on in the Psalm, he says, man gets, lifespan of a man is 70, maybe 80 years. That's what you got. 70, even 80, even 100 is a lot less than everlasting, right? It's a short amount of time. It really is a short amount of time. And the older we get, the more we realize that. So the psalm towards the end says, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. What we've talked about for 3 weeks, and especially this week, is, if you could number your days, if you could really count them, do something that quantifies them for you, you'll see how quickly your time just slips away. And so, man, make those days count. Make the days count. Count them to make them count. So that's my final inspirational thought for today.
No, I think that's incredible. And you think about it, the only thing that's truly motivational is your mortality.
Yeah.
Because if we had an infinite amount of time, like we talked about, we would allow ourselves to not achieve because we knew we always had more time.
Yeah.
I think about a dad that I was talking to, and he was talking about, how kids grow up and it goes fast. And he said, I count the summers.
Ooh.
He says, I know with this child, I've got 7 more summers before they, they head off for college and they're gone.
That's so good.
He says, 7 summers isn't a lot.
Yeah, that's nothing. Yeah.
So I've got to make the most of it.
Yeah, that's good.
But I think before we allow our announcer to heckle us, we need to think about, figure out what's your priority, but what is that thing that fills your soul? What is that thing that helps you achieve your goal? And just spend more time on that.
Yeah.
Everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah, yeah. Amen to that. All right, well, let's let him heckle us then.
All right, see what he has to say today.
And that's a wrap. The musings of Mark and Mike. No rights reserved, etc. Feel free to share and discuss what you heard today. Even claim the ideas as your own. Who'd want to do that? See you next time on It Doesn't Take a Genius. Thanks.
that's good enough.